This podcast is sponsored by the Florida Panther Protection Program. The Florida Panther is a grayish-brown cat in the same family as the Texas Panther and Puma. Due to hunting and land development, these endangered animals were down to just a couple dozen in Florida. But in recent years, through habitat management and protection, their numbers have grown to around 100. Mark Lotz is a biologist who works with these beautiful cats for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Mark, a lot of people aren't even familiar with the Florida Panther. It's a beautiful cat. Can you talk about the Florida Panther? You work with them down there in Southwest Florida. What value is placed on the position in the ecosystem, in the environment there in South Florida?
Well, the Florida Panther is a member of the Puma species. All Pumas in North and South America are of the same species. What we have here in Florida is one of the subspecies of Pumas. And it's a unique population here that is critically endangered. There's only about 100 of them left currently. Their role in the environment is one of the more important ones, being a top predator and having such a large requirement for habitat space. It makes them important because if you are able to save the panther, you're saving everything that lives underneath that panther as well. Of all the animals here, they have the largest home range requirements. So if you can save one panther's home range, you're saving about 10 black bears' home ranges and 20 bobcats' home ranges and hundreds of rabbits' home ranges, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So in that respect, it's, you know, they're important for saving all the other wildlife species. And it's not just wildlife we're talking about. We're talking about our own survival and existence as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you're saving this habitat for these animals, you're preserving land to replenish our aquifers. And if everything gets paved over, all the rainwater is just going to be washed out to the ocean, and you're going to turn the faucet on one day to get a drink, and you're not going to have anything there. So it's important not just for wildlife, but for our own well-being too.
Like so many species, not just here in Florida, but all over the country, the main reason that the Florida panther has decreased in numbers, especially in recent years, is human encroachment, development. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest contributors to why panthers are so endangered today, just loss and fragmentation of habitat. Early on, as the East was being settled, they were hunted for fear of, you know, attacking people and their livestock, and there were active campaigns to eradicate the area of panthers, and they did a pretty good job. You know, Florida panthers used to range throughout the entire southeastern United States, you know, from South Carolina all the way over to Louisiana and
down really?
Through Florida.
Wow.
You know, that's the historic range of the Florida panther. Of course, now the only breeding population is in South Florida, you know, basically that area south of Lake Okeechobee. That's where panthers are breeding today.
What is the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission doing as, of course, you're a member of? What are you doing that you see as long-sighted in helping to preserve the Florida panther?
Well, a few things. Probably one of the most important steps we've taken in recent years has been with genetic restoration of the species. Because they're so endangered, you know, their numbers at one time were close to 30. And now with recent genetic data, it looks like the population may have been reduced to one single breeding female, and it's grown from that. But when you have a lot of individuals so closely related, you know, brothers mating with their sisters and their mothers and fathers breeding their daughters, that really leads to a lot of inbreeding problems. And some of the most harmful effects of that we were seeing were panthers had holes in their hearts, the males only had one and sometimes no testicles. And there were some other problems as well, but those were among the worst problems. So in 1995, we brought 8 panthers over from Texas to help with the inbreeding problem. And that was a great success in terms of alleviating all those health problems. And the population today is a lot healthier genetically than it was 15 or 20 years ago. And it's a lot closer to what it historically was. Because as I mentioned, you know, they used to range throughout the entire Southeast, and there was a natural gene flow going on between the eastern cougar that was to the north, which that is now extinct, and the Texas cougar to the west. You know, those animals used to interbreed readily. So that's why we chose cats from Texas for this project. But since they've become isolated, you know, those opportunities have been lost. So we essentially reconnected that natural gene flow to help with some of those problems.
Mark, what can someone who's truly interested in this species, who wants to make a difference, do to help? Is there anything that someone listening could do, or something you can advise they might want to become part of that would help the Florida panther?
Yeah. If people live in Florida, the easiest and most effective way to help the Florida panther is to buy a Florida panther license plate. The monies raised by that plate go into a trust fund, and all of our research and management activities are funded completely through the sale of license plates. We don't get any general revenue funds or any other, you know, monies from other sources, so everything we do comes from sale of license plates. So that's probably the best and easiest way.
I live here in Florida, and I didn't even know that. That's a great idea. Mark Lotz is a biologist with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission out of its Naples field office in Southwest Florida. Mark, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Tom Jones is the Vice President of Government Affairs with the Bering Collier Companies in Southwest Florida. He and his people oversee and manage efforts to increase the population of the Florida panther through land management. Tom, how are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Tom, the Florida Panther Protection Program is very important to the future of the Florida panther here in Florida. Can you talk a little bit about the program and what its major components are?
Sure. Let me give you a little bit of history on the genesis of the program, how it came about. This is a collaborative effort between landowners in Southwest Florida and major environmental organizations who have a mutual interest in the Florida panther and its long-term survivability. The landowners and the environmental groups started meeting in 2007, and it was at the bequest of Paul Marinelli, the former chief executive officer of the Bering Collier Companies. And we met with environmental organizations and landowners and said that the ultimate solution for the panther lies in our hands collectively. And if we're going to wait for the government to resolve the issue, then we're going to be waiting a long time. And that landowners, where the panthers live today, and environmental organizations who have an interest in their recovery, need to get together, sit around a table, put our issues out on that table, and see if we can come to some type of a mutual solution that we believe will work for landowners and work for the environment at the same time. Some of the major components of the program that we're looking to develop over the next couple of years would be a level of certainty for landowners and the environment with respect to development in eastern Collier County. And we probably need to say that the program is focused on approximately 200,000 acres in eastern Collier County. And it also coincides with the boundary of the rural land stewardship area, which is related to the state's growth management plan as an overlay. But in this 200,000 acres, what we're looking to do is to have a development footprint that coincides with a set-aside program within that acreage. Currently, within the Eastern Collier area, you could develop one house on 5 acres. And what we're looking to do is to move into clustered development and create more open space as opposed to a broad expanse of ranchettes across that property. We're looking at developing and enhancing panther corridors, some that exist today and some that will have to be created because they don't exist. We're looking at additional mitigation above and beyond what's required by the federal government now for impacts in panther habitat, And we're also looking to establish a fund that would be generated as a result of development that ultimately could reach $150 million over a 40-year period of time that could be used for other things outside Eastern Collier County. With this fund that's established, we could look at land acquisition. We could look at restoration of properties. We could look at the development of underpasses and fencing that would benefit Panther movement and those types of things. But I think what it really boils down to, it's a collaborative effort between landowners and environmental organizations to come together and see if they can develop a solution that's equitable for all parties. And that's what we're attempting to do.
Tom, could you talk briefly about efforts to restore habitat for the panthers with the Florida Panther Recovery Plan and how it is complemented by the Florida Panther Protection Program?
The Florida Panther Recovery Plan is the overarching document that was compiled by the Fish and Wildlife Service and a group of stakeholders over a long period of time to set the game plan of how to ultimately recover the panther. There's a population of the Florida panther that primarily exists south of the Coosawhatchie River, although there are certainly sightings north of the river. There is no definitive answer as to whether or not there is a breeding population north of the river. Time will tell if that occurs. And the recovery plan lays out what it would take population-wise to go from the endangered list to the threatened list to ultimately be removed from the list, which is an admirable goal. But what you're looking at are extensive populations over large land masses to move it through that progression. And what they're looking at are three populations of 240 panthers each, which are very large numbers considering the amount of area that the panthers require. So what we're looking at south of the river is probably a population today of somewhere between 120 to 150 panthers.
It's about at capacity right now then.
That's what many people believe, that south of the river we probably are at capacity, and there's going to be more movement north of the river in future years, which is good. And once you get full, then they've got to go someplace else. We can't create more land south of the river. But a major component of the recovery plan, it was an emphasis on a working relationship between the public sector, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and private landowners, because about a third of the land south of the river for the panthers is in private ownership, and the other two-thirds is owned by the federal and state government. But if you're looking for an expansion or reintroduction of panthers, a lot of that's probably going to take place on private land. And you need to have a relationship between landowners and the government if you ever have any expectation of reintroduction, physical reintroduction, north of the Coosawhatchie River. So one of the tenets of that plan is a working relationship between the public sector and the private sector. And I think our Florida Panther Protection Program goes to the very heart of that, in that we have a good working relationship between landowners and environmental organizations as a result of our program. And now what we're doing is taking the next step, and that's developing the relationship with the Fish and Wildlife Service through the development of a habitat conservation plan. Some of the areas that we're looking at for this set-aside, for the mitigation, are key areas and key linkages between the Big Cypress Preserve and the Florida Panther Refuge on the south end, and on the north end, the state-owned Ocalaway-Coochee Slough. And in the middle of that, you have this vast expanse of private property that we're trying to incorporate into the habitat conservation plan to maintain that linkage in those habitat areas.
Tom Jones is Vice President of Government Affairs with the Baring Collier Companies. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
For more information about the Florida Panther and the Panther Protection Plan, go to floridapantherprotection.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Mark Chenoweth.